the night comes the whispering voice of the night wind to tell another story of man's battle with life. Tonight, the story of William James Cetus, the man who destroyed his own mind. Unbelievable, but true.
He's eaten. Nobody likes me. They say I'm a freak. They hate me. They hate me. They hate me.
This is the voice of the night wind, and this is the tale I tell. It is the month of July in the year 1944. And in the copy room of a country newspaper in Brookline, Massachusetts, USA, is being written the final chapter to one of the most amazing stories ever told. The life history of one William James Cetus, who, like the Browns, the Smiths, and the Jones of this world, had his part to play in the queer jigsaw pattern of life.
Hey, Henry. What is it, Sam?
This copy. Take a look at it, will you?
Huh? What's the matter with it?
Read it for yourself.
Let's see. The death is reported of William James Cetus, age 46, from natural causes, at Evans' boarding house on Main Street. Cetus was stricken with a cold, which resulted in complications from which he never recovered.
What in thunder
is it? Bleeding? Who the devil wrote this?
Young Taylor, that new cub reporter.
What you trying to do? Ruin our circulation? We want news. Not some story about a poor tramp who passes out in a second-rate boarding house.
Anyway, what do I do with this copy?
Toss it in the waste paper basket. That's the best place for it.
Carelessly, Sam throws the discarded news item into the already crammed waste paper bin. If only he possessed the power of being able to read between the lines of that scrap of paper, he would have discovered a story to thrill his heart. A weird story set in the realms of abnormal psychology. It opens in the laboratory of a brilliant Russian professor of abnormal psychology, Dr. Boris Cetus of Harvard University. It is a happy day for the austere professor, for he has just become the father of a baby son.
Congratulations, Dr. Cetus.
Thank you, Henry.
How are Mrs. Cetus and the baby?
Fine, just fine.
Now, tell me, doctor, what you going to call the little fellow?
William James. A good democratic American name.
I suppose you'll want your son to follow in your footsteps. He has a great reputation to live up to.
And he'll be equal to it. You know, Henry, you hear a lot of idle talk about genius being born, not made. But it's not true. Just as a plant is nurtured, so is the mind. I'm going to educate my child. Deliberately making what we loosely term a genius.
Why, Dr. Cetus.
My theory frightens you, Henry.
Sir, surely we can't tamper with man's destiny. Man's not matter like a plant. It's mind, soul. We're treading on dangerous ground.
Superstitious metaphysical nonsense, that's all it is. You'll see, Henry. William James Cetus will have the greatest brain man has ever known.
So William James Cetus becomes a human guinea pig to test his father's theories. 6 months later, a group of professors call at the home of Dr. Boris Cetus.
Impossible. Utterly fantastic.
Can't believe it, Boris.
A six-month-old baby able to understand the alphabet.
Nevertheless, watch. Notice these alphabet blocks with the large letters suspended over the baby's crib. Now, I call out one of the letters of the alphabet, and young William will touch the corresponding block. Watch. B. There, gentlemen.
Absolutely amazing.
And to prove it was no mere chance, we'll try again. This time, H.
He touched the correct block again.
Astonishing.
It completely revises all existing thought on child development.
So William becomes living proof of his father's theories. Bond Pater Boris explains it as a kind of mental forced feeding.
But the systematic training of my son's mind, I predict he will be qualified for Harvard University at the age of 9.
Fantastic as it seems, William James Cetus is ready for Harvard at the age of 9. The authorities concede his qualifications, but make him wait until he is 11 before admitting him. William's education goes relentlessly on, outwardly a smashing success. But inwardly, a psychological storm is brewing. Let's go.
Look at James Cetus over there.
Poor kid, I can't help feeling sorry for him.
Why don't they send him back to kindergarten?
Are you kidding? He graduated top of his year. The kid's a genius.
Yeah, maybe he is. Sure, he knows about things that are in books. But what do you know about living?
Well, playing baseball and having a good time.
Say, you better look out. We'll be making you his nursemaid.
It shouldn't be such a bad idea at that. Nobody ever bothers about the kid. He's lonely. Let's go over and talk to him.
Ah, you can. I'm up for the Alpha Beta Phi fraternity meeting. See you later.
Maybe I'm the world's biggest sap, but here goes. Say, kid. Oh, how'd you like that? He just walked off without a word.
William's college days resemble a nightmare. He learns to hate staring eyes, to shun all society. Mentally, he conjures up distorted visions of his life.
They hate me. Nobody likes me. I don't understand what they talk about. I don't know anything about games. They say I'm a freak. They hate me. They hate me.
Yet the boy does have his day of glory. One day he appears on the lecture rostrum at Harvard to discourse on...
The fourth dimension is the subject of today's lecture by William Seegers.
Brushing aside a lock of blonde hair that falls across his eyes, the shy boy begins his treatise in a shrill voice that becomes shriller as he warms to his subject. Occasionally, the attentive listener can detect an ominous giggle. But at the end of the lecture...
Remarkable.
The most clear-sighted exposition ever given on the subject.
Genius. Sheer genius.
But the cost of genius is soon apparent. The great brain of William Seegers breaks down. He's removed from Harvard to his father's sanitarium at Portsmouth in New Hampshire. Throughout America, critics assail the man who has endeavored to create in his son a genius.
A monster! Dr. Boris Seegers has deliberately destroyed his son's mind.
Congress should pass a bill that will prevent any further exploitation of children by their parents.
The Associated Press of America condemns the practices of Dr. Boris Seegers, who has come close to destroying his son's sanity.
The fools. Don't they realize I'm trying to prove that man can be unshackled from the tyranny of heredity, so that with a free mind he can go forward to greater triumphs, greater discoveries? And I will prove it.
In the sanitarium, the anguished man renews his battle to continue his boy on the road to genius. William returns to his studies and graduates with honors before he is 16. But then comes the day, an historic day, that shatters the wild ambitions of Dr. Boris Seegers.
And now that you have completed your course, William, I have mapped out the next 3 years of your life.
One moment, Father.
Yes, William?
Father, I don't know how to tell you this. I'm leaving home.
Leaving home? I don't understand.
All these years, Father, you've forced learning upon me. But I don't want it. I want to be an ordinary man. To live and love like an ordinary man. I don't want any part of this fantastic life you've mapped out for me.
William, you're upset. You see things differently in the morning. Surely you'd not destroy my life's work.
That's exactly what I intend doing.
No, I won't permit it.
Well, it's too late. I'm leaving you, Father. I must before I completely lose everything worth living.
And so William Seegers turns his back on his father's ambition, determined to destroy the genius he had created within him. He avoids any job that calls for intellectual ability. Gradually, he slips down the scale.
Yeah, we can take on a clerk. $23 a week. I'm your mate.
Your stove looked like this is used to shifting heavy loads.
Well, just give me a break and I'll make good.
This construction gang goes to Missouri. You sign on for a minimum of 23 weeks.
Oh, where do I sign? Hey, Jack. Like your chair at the back?
Hmm? No, thanks.
How long you been on the track?
Oh, a couple of weeks.
Well, there ain't nothing like it. Life on the track. No worries, no responsibilities. Who wouldn't be your champ?
Yeah.
Who wouldn't? Not very tally, are you? Still, can't always be bright. Education, that's what does it. Now take me. I went to sixth grade. That's what made me different to the rest of the tramps. Education.
And so into society's no man's land ambles William Seegers, genius. Shabby, down at the heels, and badly in need of money, he drifts his way through life until...
Well, Doctor?
He's gone.
Why the blazes he picked this boarding house to die in, I don't know.
Think of all the trouble it's going to cause me.
Who was he, anyway?
Just some tramp off the tracks. A guy called Cetus.
Yes, if our friend Henry could have read between the lines of the story sent in by his cub reporter. But that, my friends, is always the way. There is an infinity of drama hidden in a musty attic. A paper long since forgotten. A clock that relentlessly ticks away the lifespan. Yes, into all these fragments is woven the story of man. A story both strange and beautiful. And told to you by the whispering voice of the night wind. Unbelievable, but true.